Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. 19 years ago, something called VH1 aired a show called Best Week Ever. The premise of the show was that it followed along celebrity gossip and reported to whoever would listen or watch, I guess, about those who were having a great week or a noteworthy week. And the show was about as dumb as it sounds. Well, today, if a sports network decided to air the opposite of that show and call it the worst week ever, I'd say the Colts would have a prime spot. The Colts drafted the most thrilling young quarterback prospect on April 27th, and it seems like they haven't done anything right since then. And this week was a glaring reminder of how unsteady this franchise is right now. I have to admit, Colts fans, I'm a little hot, but I invite you to stay with me. Maybe we'll get through this together. I've shared with you on a number of occasions that I am a college English professor, and a common practice when grading papers is to first start with the positive remarks. Sometimes they're hard to find, to be honest, and it might feel like I'm trying to grow flowers from gravel, but I try to do it anyway before I come with the harsh criticism. I'm going to follow the same practice here. I'm not so happy with this team right now, but I want to start with some positive points from the second preseason game. Roster cuts are a little more than a week away, and these names have little to no bearing on who I think will actually make the roster, but I do think they deserve to be mentioned. Last week's episode recognized the Red Demon, Grant Stewart. He was traded here a year ago from Tampa Bay for a handful of nickels, and the trade has paid off and then some. Stewart is mostly a special teamer, but when he gets snaps on defense, he does not disappoint. He's a ferocious tackler. In fact, I would love to see that kind of energy from the rest of the team. I don't know where he fits in on the depth chart when the season starts, but he's been really fun to watch this preseason. The Colts' sixth-round draft pick, Titus Leo, has been a pleasant surprise. He came with literally no introduction out of Wagner College. I'd bet even the most connected fan hadn't heard much about Leo prior to the draft. But he got a sack in the second preseason game and could provide to be a nice depth player on the edge if he's able to make the team. A third-round pick in last year's draft, Nick Cross, is picking up where he left off last preseason. He had a nice camp in 2022, then he got the start at safety before being benched early in the season. He wasn't ready, so what? At the time, some fans worried that his benching would crush his confidence, but I didn't see it that way. The Colts knew they were drafting a prospect in Cross. He was only 20 years old when the team selected him. The redshirt year, if we can call it that, seems to have done Cross some good. He still might be a reserve player to start the season, but his confidence is not crushed. Nick Cross has been impressive this camp and looks a bit more NFL-ready than he did a year ago. One round after, Leo, with the 221st pick, the Colts drafted Jalen Jones in this year's draft, a quarterback from Texas A&M. Keep in mind that the Colts drafted 12 players in total, so in Leo and Jones, we're talking about the 10th and 11th players drafted by Indy. They've both been good, and these are positions where the Colts need players to work out. It seemed to be more of a quantity over quality approach at cornerback after the team traded away Stephon Gilmore. Other cornerbacks have flashed, but Jalen Jones has been one of the more consistently good cornerbacks this preseason. I do expect the 7th rounder to make the roster. The last couple players I want to mention are no surprise. Sam Ellinger continues to do what Sam does in the preseason. He made some really great throws, deep throws too, Saturday. His accuracy numbers are not as good as Gardner Minshew's, that's true, but Sam pushes the ball downfield a little bit more. He's also a little better running the ball than Gardner, and that was on full display Saturday. I know it's a long shot, but I wonder if Sam doesn't fit the offensive scheme a little better than Gardner Minshew. I'm not comparing Sam to Anthony Richardson. I'm not going to do that. That would be unfair. But Gardner seems more like a Philip Rivers type of quarterback. He's a smart guy who's going to most often make the right pass and move the chains. He could likely finish a game with 80% completions and no chunk plays. That's just the nature of his game. Sam, on the other hand, is much more mobile. His arm isn't comparable to Richardson, but as I said, Sam isn't afraid to take downfield shots. It just seems to me that if you want a backup who can run a similar offense as the starter, Anthony Richardson, then maybe you choose Sam, not Gardner, as the backup. I suppose it's a moot point, though, because given the new NFL quarterback rules, both guys will probably make the team. Okay, there you have it. Before I drop the hammer, I have provided several positive points about the Colts, and those are all good things. More importantly, all I have mentioned so far are players. The players have been impressive. What hasn't been impressive has been the Colts' organizational direction and decisions and communication and lack of communication. It's been a bad week for this franchise. Truthfully, it's been a bad 22 months for this franchise. And Frank is out the door. You can't blame that guy anymore for what this team is doing and saying and not saying. Saturday in the second preseason game, someone decided not to play rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson. As a fan, that decision didn't really bother me all that much. I was a little confused, but he had already been announced as the season starter, as we discussed last week. I wasn't paying money to see the game, and since he'd already been announced as the starter, I knew I would see him play at least 17 games as long as he stays healthy. But from a football perspective, this makes no sense at all. Richardson is about the most raw talent this league has ever seen drafted in the top five. He started only 14 football games in his pro and college careers combined. I'm quite sure that I played more games than that during my freshman flag football season. There's no one on this roster who needs more playing experience than Anthony Richardson. And what better time than now? These games don't mean anything. You could lose by 100 and it doesn't count. It's free football. Think of all the research, all the days and months the Colts scouting staff spent digging up information about Anthony Richardson to help the team determine whether they should draft the guy, and now they have him on their roster with a chance to play real NFL football right in front of their eyes against an NFL opponent, and they just decided not to. It's incomprehensible. Greg Doyle wrote a compelling piece about this decision. Kevin Bowen also commented about how criminal it was to mislead fans. The Colts strategically withheld the announcement about whether AR would play until the game started. The strategic move allowed the sellout crowd all to find their seats and load up on concessions only to see the player they came to watch sit on the sidelines under a sun visor. It's not a good look for the Colts. As if last year wasn't a wet fish slap to the face of fans, now this. I applaud the great points made by Doyle and Bowen, but as I said, for me, the greater issue was the missed opportunity to play an inexperienced quarterback during a low-stakes preseason game. I'd play him every snap, every single snap he'd be out there. Tom Moore was the Colts' offensive coordinator from 1998 to 2008. He was asked why he didn't give more reps to Peyton Manning's backups in practice. Moore famously replied, "Fellas, if 18 goes down, we're screwed. And we don't practice screwed." Only he didn't say screwed. I just gave you the edited version. It's quite a different situation here. I understand that, but Moore understood the assignment. Richardson's backups have about the same value to this team as Peyton's had to his. I've been saying this and will keep saying it. This year must be committed to developing Anthony Richardson. He is the new hope of this team. There is nothing to be gained by playing Gardner Minshew. In preseason games, in practice, passes in the parking lot, nothing. And the same for Sam, as much as I love him. The decision to sit Anthony Richardson Saturday was mind-boggling, inexcusable, and downright rude. I wish I could say that benching AR was the worst decision the Colts made this week, but it wasn't. Monday, news leaked that the Colts have allowed Jonathan Taylor to seek a trade. I will reiterate that JT has played his role in this saga and deserves at least half of the blame, if not more, but the Colts have handled this thing terribly. Since the team's collapse at the end of the 2021 season, the Colts have made no good news nationally. And this is yet another embarrassing chapter for Jim Irsay's team. It's like they're stacking cards deck over deck to see how high the pile can grow before it tumbles into a great flat mess. 3 weeks ago, owner Jim Irsay posted on social media that the team would not trade Jonathan Taylor. Now this. However, I acknowledge it is quite possible that the Colts are simply letting Jonathan Taylor and his agent test the waters. Stubbornly, the team could be letting JT find out for himself his real trade value, fully expecting him to come back empty-handed. While that may be true, I think that's a terrible way to do business, especially on the cusp of a new season. And even if that plan is true, it doesn't make me feel any better. Is that how you treat one of your most talented players? And why do so publicly? Jim Irsay, Chris Ballard, and now Shane Steichen can't seem to do anything right. Shane keeps telling the media that JT will be back, he expects him back, and so on. Has he had any conversations with his owner, his general manager? Can somebody get that guy a social media feed so he can see what his owner is posting and what the Colts fans are reading? This has been a calculated disaster, commandeered by the Colts' unsteady owner, Jim Irsay. Unfortunately and exhaustingly, his quiet years seem to be over. He drifted in the background during the first years of Chris Ballard's stay, but now the noisy owner has come unhinged. Once again, I'm annoyed as a fan, but I'm even more perplexed about this disaster from a football and skill perspective. Jonathan Taylor is an all-pro, one of the top running backs in the league, and easily one of the better players on this team. There's no question that the new franchise quarterback would benefit from having Jonathan Taylor as a running mate in the backfield. 2 seasons ago, JT made this team watchable. He single-handedly won games against the Bills and Patriots. Lazy arguments will say that the running back position is less important in this league than it used to be, and that's true. But when you have a talent like JT in the building, you don't let him go, especially when the rest of the roster plops such a scarcity of game changers outside of Taylor. And that's the difference. When supply is low, demand should be high. It's a day one economics lesson. Everybody knows this. Whether we like to admit it or not, the Colts don't have a lot of top-end talent. So you have to lock in the ones you do have, no matter what positions they play. On a team with a dearth of talent, such as the Colts, the demand to keep Taylor happy and on the payroll should be astronomical. Another lazy argument I've heard is that, you know, the Chiefs have been successful without a premier running back. And before them, the Patriots did the same. I feel dumber just having to state the obvious, but you know what? The Colts don't have prime Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes or Bill Belichick or Andy Reid or Rob Gronkowski or Travis Kelce. That entire list might be headed straight to the Hall of Fame after retirement. And the Colts, they don't have anybody like that. Nobody. Sure, if you can bring in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, yeah, there might not be much of a need for Jonathan Taylor. That's true. But here in the real world, JT should be a valued commodity for the Colts. And I believe wholeheartedly that the NFL's 27th ranked offense and a young, inexperienced quarterback could really use a playmaker like Jonathan Taylor. Sometimes I wonder why we stay. I wonder. Peyton is gone. Tony Dungy is gone. Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne, T.Y. Hilton, and Jack Doyle, they're all gone. All that remains from those teams we loved is owner Jim Irsay, who was once an embarrassment to the team and is sadly returning to his old self. Once again, I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled about Anthony Richardson and so hopeful for what he can do this season, but the scales are imbalanced. This franchise has done far more to turn fans away than they have to embrace them. If the Colts do not make some kind of good faith move to smooth things over with Jonathan Taylor, I'm going to have a hard time staying plugged in to Jim Irsay's team. I'll leave it at that. I'll talk to you next week. This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.